For sure. Then the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 5.
Beloved Bhagwan, Baso said to his master, Nangaku, the way is formless. How can we see it well? Nangaku answered, it is like the eye of the law, possessed by the ground of mind, seeing clearly the way, the samadhi of no form. Baso said, can it progress or decay? Nangaku replied, if it is seen as progressing and decaying, becoming firm and dispersing, it is not seen. Another master, Enkai, was asked by a monk, it is said that if we see the form of things, we see the mind. If we take a lantern as form, what is the mind? Enkai said, you don't understand the meaning of the ancients. The monk asked, what is the meaning of the ancients? Enkai said, the lantern is the mind. In another incident, the master, Hogen, pointed to some bamboos and said to a monk, do you see them? I see them, replied the monk. Do they come to the eye, or does the eye go to them? Asked Hogen. I have no idea at all, said the monk. Hogen gave up and went away.
The first thing you have to understand that by giving a dangerous ferocious animal, you gave migraine to poor Manisha. Remember it always. Falling below humanity and then sitting behind a poor girl . It is fortunate that she is still alive. You have did everything to kill her. As a gorilla, you were dancing with her. And I had left the place just because I did not want to see the dance of a gorilla. And you see the results now? Be ashamed. And give your gorilla dress to Sardaya Gurudaya. It does not Sufi. So Sardaya Vidyan says, it will suit anywhere he can go. Inside the city and three cows keep him. Any way he does it. But in a gorilla dress, his laughter, Sardar Gurdayal Singh. Take that gorilla dress from Bimal tomorrow. And as the dress will reach to you, the migraine of Manisha will disappear. It is not migraine, it is simply fear that who knows that gorilla may be sitting behind her again. You have asked to Bimal. Basu said to his master, Nangaku, the way is formless. How can we see it well? The question is very logical and rational. If the way is formless, obviously you cannot see it. To see anything, the thing has to be objective, with a form. If it has no form, if it is infinite, how can you see it? Basu, in his own right, later on proved to be one of the greatest masters. But even while he was a disciple of Nangaku, his master, his questions were immensely important. The way is formless. That's how Buddha has said. There is every support for his questions. And now he is asking Nangaku, how can we see it well? But Nangaku was not in any way a smaller master. Nangaku answered, it is like the eye of the law. Possessed by the ground of mind, seeing clearly the way, the samadhi of no form. The answer seems to be absolutely absurd. Makes no sense what he is saying. He is saying, that there are thousands of samadhis, graves of people who have seen it and declared it as formless. I am not the only one. Its formlessness does not prevent it being seen. Just you need a different vision, a different eye. In the yoga, they have called it the third eye, which can see the infinite. It is like the eye of the law. The word law is a wrong translation of dharma. It is always a difficulty in changing great things from one language to another language. The Sanskrit dharma, the Pali dhamma can also mean religion and also can mean the law, because religion is nothing but the law of existence. The very order of this universe Namgaku answered, it is like the eye of the law. Possessed by the ground of mind, underneath your mind there are roots of your being which possess your ultimate vision, the third eye. Seeing clearly the way, the samadhi of no form, this whole existence has no limitation. Nowhere is the boundary. Now physicists are in difficulty. These small questions and these small anecdotes have become tremendously significant for modern physicists, because to them also it is a question, if the universe is without any limits, then you are accepting something which you have not seen. Nobody has seen the boundary where the universe ends. It is just purely a hypothesis. Up to now, science has been trying to believe that somewhere far away, millions and trillions of light years away, there must be a boundary. Everything has a boundary. We may not be able to see it, but it has to be there. It is only an assumption. With Albert Einstein's researches, the assumption has fallen down. Albert Einstein's one of the greatest achievements was to make the universe free from boundaries. His work is as important as the work of all the mystics of the world. The mystics have been trying to make your consciousness boundaryless. Albert Einstein tried to make this whole universe unbounded, unlimited, infinite. Although there is no way to prove it, except that the contrary cannot be proved either. In the absence of contrary proof, it seems to be rational to accept, at least as a hypothesis, that the existence has no boundary. It cannot have, because to make a boundary you will need another existence. Who will make the boundary? What will be beyond the boundary? And if there is something still beyond the boundary, it is still the universe. It can be very simply conceived that boundaries don't belong to existence. But mystics are not concerned with the objective world. Their concern is of the inner world, the inner universe of consciousness. Has it a form? And if there is no form, how can you see somebody is self-realized? How can you see that one has seen oneself? Only form can be seen. Nangaku changes the whole situation. He says it is not a question of your ordinary eyes. Of course, they can only see the form. But deep in your very being is a capacity to know the formless. But Vasu was no ordinary disciple. Vasu said, can it progress or decay? I accept your hypothesis, but I have few questions, Vasu says. Can it progress, the no form, the unlimited consciousness, can it progress or decay? He is putting his master in a fire test. Nangaku replied, if it is seen as progressing and decaying, becoming firm and dispersing, it is not seen. To ask whether perfection can be more perfect, will be absurd. Perfection is perfection. It cannot be more, it cannot be less. Take a small example. Can a circle be more circular or less circular? A circle is a circle. It can be neither more circular nor less circular. Your very question shows, Nandabapu said to Basu, that you had not seen it. Your third eye is still fast asleep. Your mind is young. Your intelligence is great. But your inner eye is not yet opened itself. It is a bud. It has not become a rose. Another master, Enkei, was asked by a monk, it is said that if we see the form of things, we see the mind. If we take a lantern as form, what is the mind? N.K. said, you don't understand the meaning of the ancient. The monk asked, what is the meaning of the ancient? N.K. said, the lantern is the mind. This is something to be understood. When before a mirror you bring something, without weakening it, it reflects it so perfectly. That you can say that the mirror has become it. If the mind can see, it is a mirror. Your eyes are mirrors and nothing else. They reflect. And in reflecting, they become things. Whatever they reflect. Looking into a person's eye, you can discover his whole personality, his whole psychology, his whole mind and the mass. The eye reflect not only the outside world, they also reflect your inner world. How deep you are. Are you just a surface, a thin layer of water that reflects, or an ocean? When Basu became himself the master and succeeded his own master Nandabapu, before initiating any disciple, he used to look into the eyes of the disciple. He will bring him closer, look into his eyes, And Basu looking into somebody's eyes is almost as if you are in the hands of a lion. Just by his look, the penetration of his vision was as sharp as a razor's blade. Just by looking into the eyes of people, he had made few people enlightened. Their minds disappeared. They could not confront the eyes of the master Basu. Basu is a very rare master. The monk asked, "What is the meaning of the ancient?" And K said, "The lantern is the mind. When you are seeing the lantern, if you are not wavering within, in a very miraculous way, the reflection and the reflected become one. The observed and the observer become one. The loved and the lover become one." In such a small statement is hidden so much that on each statement a great philosophy can be based. In another instance, the master Hossein pointed to some bamboo and said to a monk, "Do you see them?" "I see them," replied the monk, not understanding that when a master asks you, "Do you see it?" he does not mean your ordinary eyes. A master's finger is always pointing to the inner, not to the outer. But the poor monk thought, that the master is asking whether he can see the bamboo. He said, "Yes, I see them," replied the monk. "Do they come to the eye, or does the eye go to them?" "How do you manage to see? Somebody has to go. Either your eyes go to the bamboos, or the bamboos come to your eyes. Which way it happens?" "I have no idea at all," said the monk, feeling utterly defeated. Knowing not what to say, because the fact is no one goes, no one comes. The eyes are in their place and the bamboos are in their place. There is no going and there is no coming. Do you think when the full moon reflects in the silent lake, the lake goes to the moon? or the moon comes to the lake, moon remains in its place, the lake remains in its place, but it's silent. Its mirror like surface reflects. The poor monk could not say that nobody goes, nobody comes, everybody is in its own place. There is no coming, there is no going. Because he could not answer, Hussein gave up and went away. Hussein was a very strict master, not as compassionate as Vaso or Gautam Buddha. Had the same experience, but was very stern with his disciples. Always wanted them to answer rightly. You could not deceive Hussein. You cannot ask for any compassion from him. He used to say that all compassion is dangerous. Because what is the inner implication of compassion? It means allowing ignorance. He will not allow any ignorance. He will chop your head if it is needed. But compassion was not his method. Rather than explaining to the disciple, he simply left and went away. Without saying a word, this is his way of saying that you are not worthy of me. That you are not worthy of this. You cannot answer a simple thing. That in a reflection nothing goes, nothing comes. Everything remains in its place. And in existence, the similar is the case. No going, no coming. Just be. You can feel here, nothing is going, nothing is coming. A tremendous silence the bamboos are not even making the commentary. Poor Manisha is not here, but her question is, she has asked, beloved Bhagwan, thank you, thank existence, thank you that you don't give up as easily as Jose. But Manisha, where are you? The master is here and the disciple has given up. and this whole mess is being created? My Bimal, who is sitting in front of me, although you are not here, your question is significant for everyone. I am not Hojin. I will haunt you even in your grave. I will see how far you can escape. I am haunting already all over the world. And I am still alive. Once I am dead, then this world cannot prevent me. No law, no parliament, no country can make barriers for me. Then I will be all over the place, tickling people to wake up. I'm not doing anything nasty to anybody, just tickling. And I want you to remember that there are few stupid people always. Out of curiosity they come here. If you find any stupid person around you not doing the gibberish, tickle. Make him from all the sides. It is a religious duty. Don't leave the poor fellow alone. He should not go home the same way he had come here. He should go laughing, forgetting all his misery and business. So while you are doing your gibberish, just take care that nobody is sitting silent. When you are silent, then take care that nobody is moving. This is not an ordinary assembly, a crowd. This is a place where everybody has to become enlightened in spite of himself. I am a different kind of man, Manisha. Before you start your gibberish, and from today I will not move my hands, I will watch you. And if I see somebody sitting silently, I am going to point then whoever he is, just tickle him. I have tickled you enough. Now it is your dharma to before our meditation begins, I have to prepare the ground for you. Swami Deva's coconut has a terrible pain in his back. When it becomes unbearable, he reluctantly goes to Ruby Hall Clinic to visit Dr. Ekdam Quality. The specialist to have him diagnose his problem. Dr. Ekdam Quality examines coconut carefully, takes an x-ray and asks him to come back the next day. When coconut returns, Ekdam Quality says, "Well, I have studied the x-ray carefully and your problem can be cured by an operation followed by 2 weeks in the hospital and then 6 months lying on your bed at an approximate cost of 25,000 rupees. Jesus Christ, prize coconut, I can't afford all that." "Okay," says Ekdam Quality. "Then for 25 rupees, I can retouch the x-ray." After 10 years of marriage, Boris and Betty Bunkovich get divorced. Betty wins custody of their young son, Bert, and $300 a month in child support from Boris. On the first of every month, Betty sends Bert to Boris to pick up the money, and every month the check is waiting. On his 18th birthday, Bert goes once again to Boris, but this time as Boris hands Bert the check, Boris says, "Bert, when you give this check to your mother, tell her it is the last check I am going to send her and watch the expression on her face." Returning home, Bert says to Betty, "Mom, Boris told me to watch the expression on your face when I tell you that this is your last check. Is that so?" Says Betty, "Then I want you to go straight back over there and watch the expression on Boris' face when you tell him that he is not your father." Sardar Gurdayal Singh from Pune decides to go to Singapore for some shopping. He goes into a shop dressed in his best flowing robes, curly shoes and turban and asks, what is the price of that video machine in the window? The salesman answered, "Sorry sir, we don't sell to Indians." To Sardar Gurudayal Singh, this is very shocking. He goes back to his hotel and dresses as an Englishman in a thin striped suit with all his hair pushed up into a bowler hat. Back at the shop, he asks, "My good man, what is the price of that video in the window?" To his dismay, the seller replies, "Sorry sir, we don't sell to Indians." So this time Sardar Gurdayal Singh dresses as an American. He lets all his hair down, puts on Bermuda shorts, T-shirt and sunglasses, and goes back into the shop. "Hey man," he says, "how much for that far out video machine?" But he gets the same reply. In exasperation, Sardar Gurdayal Singh cries, "How do you know that I am an Indian?" "That is easy," replies the seller. "The article in the window that you desire is not a video, it is a washing machine." You say, give the first beat. Thank you.
silent. The waves, the bamboos are silent. Just be. Close your eyes and be with it. No movement, either of the mind or of the body. Just to be now and here. It's your isness. Deeper and deeper. Don't spare anything. You have nothing to lose by going deeper in yourself, but everything to gain. At your very center of being is the door of the kingdom of God. You don't have to even open it. It is open. It is waiting. Come in. You are always welcome. Come in. Lupes, give the beat. Everybody falls dead. Let your body breathe, relax totally so that you can move even more deeper into your being. Have the taste of this tremendous silence. Feel the beatitude of this moment. This is what I have called the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Rupesh, call the dead back to life. Give the drum a good beat. One more. Come back. Fresh and alive.
coming from the innermost sources of your life and consciousness. Fresh and fragrant. Fearless and free. Just pure individual as existence has wanted you to be. Okay, Bhimar?
Yes, Bhagavan.
Can we celebrate?
Yes.